This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. I've got Seth Levitt. I've got OJ Juice McDuffie. The fish tank is here. I am Travis Wingfield. Drive time is here. The Dolphins are here, and they are 1-0 after a dominant victory over the New England Patriots. And Juice, that is four straight against the boys from Boston.
Yeah, man, it's always nice to beat these guys, man, and it's funny because you know what happened just getting here. I mean, these guys came in early to try to get acclimated to this weather, and it's tough. It's a tough feel for everybody. Those that actually play here all the time, and those that come in on visits, and but no matter what, Travis, getting a win within the division on opening day, you can't go 2-0 without going 1-0. You know what I mean?
Can we call it 1.5-0?
Sure, we can do that. We can do that, man. So it's perfect, man, that we go out here and get this win like we're supposed to. And we've been doing this over and over again. Now, our biggest problem's been week two, but we're going to figure it out, man. We've got something going right here, man. It's been special. And just a fun day to come out here and see the team play in pretty much all three phases. Solid football. Solid football is what I'm going to go with.
And plenty of room to grow and improve upon that,
absolutely,
right, Juice? Because we're going to talk about that as we go along here. And I'm glad you guys mentioned, Seth, kind of the drop in there, talking about the, you know, 1.5 worth of a victory here because it's a divisional opponent. And that's what Mike McDaniel said last week, right? He said it's like the 3-point contest in the NBA where divisional games are that colored ball at the end of the rack.
What a great
extra
analogy.
Points. I mean,
yeah.
he always does that, right?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Kawa?
But that's kind of Kawa. Coach, his answer was great. That's a Drive Time podcast.
Awesome. It's an A at the end, not a G.
Yeah, I always get that wrong on my own show. Maybe that's why
it's your
the,
line.
Maybe
you
it's why it's the fish tank post game show here on the post game show.
Exactly,
but
right.
You know, I mean, that was kind of one of the big takeaways today too, guys. Was just coach's aggressiveness and that play to end the first half, the 42-yard touchdown pass,
man.
4th and 8 to Jalen Waddle. I thought it was Tua's best ball of the day. I thought it was the best call of the day. I thought, obviously, was the most impactful play of the day. But Juice and Seth, that was those two words combined there. Seth, it puts the Dolphins up 17.
A lot of times, anyway.
All the time.
Look,
all the time.
I see that. But
especially
when
we're running routes.
17-0 going into the break, that almost felt like the kind of deflating moment there for the Patriots in that game. No
yeah.
pun intended.
Well, yeah. The Patriots, didn't they? I don't want to say they invented it, but they certainly made a living off of it for 2 decades of getting that score at the end
it's
to kind
critical.
Of break your spirit.
It's critical, right?
And then you're getting the ball to start the half. Now, it would be nice if we had gone down and scored, but we just kept texting each other saying, where is Waddle? How do we get Waddle involved? They get Waddle involved. Oh, there he goes. He's dancing in the end zone. So that was huge. We talked about the stat where people say Tua doesn't have enough 30-plus yard touchdown passes. Well, that was a 42-yarder, so add that one in the record books. And you guys hit it. You hit the nail on the head. They're 1-0. I mean, there's room to grow. They left meat on the bone there, but – you start the season, you can only play one game today, and they won the game. And they won it by 2 scores.
Right.
And to me, if you didn't even play your best ball and you beat a division opponent by 2 scores, and really I think they were the better team all day today, I can live with that, and there's room to grow.
Could have been a lot more lopsided, but Juice, I was curious to get your perspective on that play because – I mean, watching the guys come off the field to the tunnel after that touchdown to Jalen Waddle, there was a different level of energy. So I was curious to get your perspective on a 4th-and-8 call. The head coach says, hey, I trust you guys. Go out and get it, man. What does that do for the players?
Well, I think he was, more importantly, he was trusting his defense just in case it didn't work. You know what I mean? I think that was the key. But I'm going to tell you, man, that play in itself was so spectacular. I'm sitting there with a bunch of guys. Look, I always talk about where I'm at for the game. I'm always in the game with a bunch of alumni.
Just because we can't get in there. So
right.
If you didn't know, folks, Juice was in the alumni suite.
I can get you in every once in a while, man, but it's not every game. You know what I mean? I only got a couple tickets, you know?
We'll hang in the press.
But I'm sitting there, and I've got A.J. Duay behind me. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there next to Jeff Cross, you know? And I also, you know, Anthony Harris and those guys are like in my – you know, my vicinity, and Super Duper is back there saying, you know, basically punt it.
Dupe is yelling to punt it.
Dupe is looking to punt. You know, we're playing well on defense, and me too. I thought for a fact that we're just trying to draw them off, maybe get a couple extra yards, and then be in more 4-down territory. Yep. The fact that we snapped it after the break was super impressive, man. And not only that, for a long touchdown to our man Waddle, we finally got involved in the game. That was special, man. I'm not used to seeing that. I don't think any of us are used to seeing that. And that was just outstanding. The coaches, man, you know what I mean? Think about it. Not many coaches do that. And a lot of guys are saying, you know, I hate to say it, Shula, we'd be punting that.
Right.
Punt.
We talked about that in the press box. Yeah. We were like, okay, where are they going to spot it? Was there a man down? Okay, if he took the set, you know, and do you punt it? Do you kick a field goal? And
if
you miss it,
there
was all that conversation. Right. Then they line up. And then I was like, they're going to run this thing.
Right. See, they lined up before the break. Right
thinking
there.
You're just giving them
the
look.
Yeah, yeah. And then they came back out with the offense. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there was
they're
no
really
second
run,
thought,
run
was
a play
there?
Play here, yeah.
And it was a little bread and butter, wasn't it? A little slant to Jalen Waddle. I mean, we've seen Tua have that to Waddle for years now, going back to the days at Alabama. Tua finishes 23 for 33, 270 yards, a touchdown pass, a 104.4 rating. I think we all agree, and we'll talk about this later, that it wasn't even his best showing. And you
correct.
Wind up
a lot
with,
of room
with,
to grow
with
there
that
too.
Number. And to me, that speaks a little bit to the offensive system, which, you know, you go back over the years with Coach McDaniel. It's one game here. I'm not going to get too over the top with it, but every quarterback this guy has coached has posted really solid numbers, and if you don't play your best, you can still have a day like that, and that seems to be what happened here with Tua Tagovailoa. And then you have Tyreek Hill with 8 for 94, Juice. I know we're going to talk about him a little bit, but, man, the impact that he had in this game, I thought that he was kind of the engine behind the offense that really, you know, longer drives, and it kind of goes against what you think with Tyreek Hill and the vertical stretch element of his game, but, man, he was a big part of that short game getting things going today.
Yeah, we're just getting to learn Tyreek. You know what I mean? And every other team's going to learn him as well. You know, it took a while to get – we talked about it, getting Jalen involved, Jalen Waddle. But Tyreek is such a difference maker in the games and such an attention grabber. Everybody wants to – you know, you have to pay attention to what he's doing. And so at the beginning, you can tell it was a concerted effort to get him involved. I mean, I don't even know – I haven't looked at the final stats, but at one point – I hate name dropping all the time, but Duke's like, how
hasn't
many targets is that?
Today.
How many? Duke was like, how many targets is that, OJ? How many targets is that? I'm like, oh right, he's at 12 targets right now. He's like, damn, I never got 12 targets. I said,
oh yeah, Mark Clayton on the other side.
But one thing that Duke did say though, he said, look, Tyreek is a combination of me and Clayton together.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? My speed, Clayton's ability to run routes and get in and out of breaks. I was like, man, that's a hell of a compliment, bro. You know what I mean? So he's a guy that's going to, for sure, command and demand a lot of attention and all the other guys get going. Look, Jalen Waddle, you know, he's been hurt most of the camp, and then he got his opportunities late. And what did he do? He shined like hell. But Tyreek, man, Tyreek is doing that thing to draw a lot of attention. And, of course, you're going to get him targeted. Get him involved early. Get him going early. One thing I knew when I played was get me involved early and I'll handle the rest later in the game. If you don't get me involved until late, I'm going to be pissed off at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
I
get me involved
kind of
early.
Like the wide receiver prerequisite.
Exactly
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Throw a screen
man.
Pass or so, something, man. Get the ball in his hands and get him going.
How so, cool. So we think we're pretty cool sitting in the press box. Oh, we were in the press box and we were talking to. I mean, that's O.J. McDuffie and Mark Duper talking about what's going on in the field.
I'm just glad it's on the Spaces show talking about me running around the building talking to whoever I'm talking
who
to.
You met at, who you met in the snack line?
Finally somebody else that's pulling the name drops out here. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds real quick, guys, so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. You got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595 or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show presented by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at the Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. And guys, it's an opening day victory, a convincing one. The Dolphins take it 20-7 over their AFC East rival, New England Patriots. And let's go ahead and get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse, Sawgrass Auto Mall. And I think it's a no-brainer today. And that's what Juice told me here as I kind of asked about who it might be for the player of the game. We're going to go with the guy that got the touchdown scoring started. We were asked on Wednesday, guys, who was the first touchdown of the game going to be on the Twitter Spaces show.
That's right.
I gave you Waddle. What did you do, Mike?
Mike Gesicki, you know, I went homer, but it's, you know, yeah.
Who had Melvin Ingram? Melvin Ingram scoops
I
up.
I did. I just wasn't able to attend. It was my wife's birthday,
He made the right move. The player of the game, though, was the guy that forced that fumble. You go ahead and hear that play right now.
Devontae Parker in motion. Back to throw. Blitz coming. They got him. The ball's out. Touchdown, Miami! Ingram picked it up on the bounce.
Then
and
he got blindsided
into the end zone.
He never saw it on the blind side. Went to throw the ball. Dolphins were bringing the heat. Oh, I'll tell you what a great start for this defense.
And Joe, I think it was Brandon Jones on the blitz, right? Yeah, it was Brandon Jones
outside. Nobody touches him.
Not at all. And the ball bounced perfectly for Ingram.
That might be Jimmy's best call in a while. That was a hell of a call on the sack fumble touchdown there. As Brandon Jones gets the scoring started, just like he did last year at the Meadowlands, a game we were all at together, a strip sack of Joe Flacco. This time it gets scooped up and taken back for six by Melvin Ingram there. Guys, Brandon Jones, 11 tackles, a PBU, a sack, a forced fumble, and that play there that causes a touchdown juice. That's how you make an impact in your first game of the season.
Man, oh, man. Our safeties are nice, aren't
they?
How nice are they, man?
Javon
and Brandon, doing what he does, man. You know, playing, you know, all over the football field, but making plays like that, and it was really strange. That sack was like he disguised it so well. Because I watched it a few times. He disguised that blitz so well off the edge, and whoever's on the edge on the end, you know, did a great job of making sure that he had that clean shot. But Mac, he had no idea he was coming. Had no idea
and
was
no
coming,
time
man.
To
and
react.
He got there
he
like
just
that.
Goes downhill so fast.
A great bounce to Melvin Ingram and a great scoop by the veteran player. You know, to scoop it up and get into the end zone.
Right place,
welcome
right time.
Welcome to Miami, Melvin Ingram. You know what I mean? That was outstanding. What a great play! And I'm telling you, we talked about it before. Our bread is buttered on
That's
our
right.
defensive side of football, and they did that today. And we're going to need that. We're going to need more from our offense. But that play right there was one of those six significant plays that, you know, set a tone for how our defense is going to be this year.
I want to go back to Seth here because there's something we were talking about in the press box. That was your key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Morse. And Seth, something you talked about, and you've kind of been on this kick for 2 years now after a podcast I did last offseason,
yep,
talking about how maybe the Dolphins should play a little more coverage and just
sick
do their four-man pass rush. And Seth's like, I ain't trying to have that, Travis. Was that a good Seth? I don't know if it was. I went for it.
That was real good.
That was really good.
And here he comes.
Called
the
up
edge.
To take.
They blitz the edge. They condense that tackle. He misses Brandon Jones. Free run, Seth. You get your strip sack and a touchdown.
I don't even think I should say anything else. You did a better me than I can do. But that's exactly right. Everybody's sitting here begging for them to do something different than what they're doing. It's working, and it's worked well for years, and clearly it doesn't matter. Look, they dialed it up, and they not just got a big play, but it was a scoring play. When
Absolutely.
Your defense can turn turnovers to points, don't even have to give the ball back to the offense, that's what it's all about. So, like, why? Oh, we're going to criticize it because they had to create exotic pressure? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's the best pass rushing safety in the league.
Yeah.
What do the kids say, Travis? Don't at me? That's the best pass rushing.
Come at me.
I mean, the guy's unbelievable, and we saw it happen here today. So, whoever's out there saying that they need to find better ways to get 3- and 4-man pressure, I don't care.
No.
I don't care. It's the best pressure they had all day. They got points off of it. Have Brandon Jones go downhill every play far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
2 sacks and 3 takeaways today, Juice. That defense, I mean, one of the takeaways I'm probably going to have in the podcast tonight, the Drive Time podcast, is just talking about how guys who we expect them to have a certain level of performance, they just did that today. There was a big third down stop, a third and short stop, where Seth leans over and goes, is that my grown-ass man, Zach Sealer? I'm like, you're darn right it is, sir. That's all he does is shut down short yardage plays. But Emmanuel Ogbah has a sack. Javon Holland has a pick. Juice, I know you loved that play by Xavier Howard to get over there, pin that receiver, and tip that thing up, man.
Man,
how great was that?
All day, man. That's what he does, man. That's exactly what he does, bro. And it was great to see, you know, why are you taking his chances?
Coach.
And then we go from there.
We're gonna go ahead and throw it to Coach Mike McDaniel. Here we go.
You know, so we decided to do it. Had a couple thoughts in mind. You know, you try to prepare yourself so it's not the first time you've thought about that scenario. And that does come up in end of half. So I had a couple thoughts, but then once the play started, I think Cedric motioned down, and we had anticipated a certain type of leverage in the man-to-man coverage, and we got it. Then we got the protection, and then Tua ripped a strike. Part of the reason that you know you hear so much praise from Tyreek and Waddle about Tua is because he throws that catchable ball that you can get yards after catch. And then Waddle, you know, that's something that we've emphasized a ton And you want to talk about deliberate practice coming to life in the biggest moment is, you know, catching that in break and then having a mindset, not being surprised that he's catching it. No, he only scores because he immediately transitioned to take it to the house. So I was glad to have him back. I told you guys I was very confident he'd be back. But that was a cool moment for all of us, and wish we could have continued that momentum in the second half. But beggars can't be choosers. Yeah, no, this is. I told the team last night. I thought it was important that you guys were introduced to the offensive players and the offense. But this is still the defense's team until proven otherwise, and they valued that. That was important to them when they heard that, and they wanted to prove me right, and they sure did. You know, defense is funny where you have so many guys that are competitive and have high standards, and then you're giving up some yards and you're driving down the field. Well, it's a classic example of the other team has to score. So don't panic, and then wait for your opportunity and seize it. So it was a huge momentum turner. The pick with ex PBU, and then Javon coming in and making a play on that. That, you know, who knows what the game looks like without that one. So those are a ton of examples that we'll be able to learn from. But I thought it was good that the defense deserved to get some. They've put in the work. They've it is the stage now where they've been able to play together for a while, and so they that means a lot to them. They want to they have a standard that they want to employ that everybody knows when a Miami Dolphins game occurs that you're going to have to deal with this defense. And we're +3 in the turnover margin, which that's probably the biggest indicator that you'll ever have. I think that's factual, actually, 87% or something. Anyway, you guys can check that. But that was the real story of the game, was being able to protect the ball and in the game +3. No, I mean, Tyreek made some plays. Our plan is always to get him involved. Defenses can kind of dictate the terms, so you try to. This was a difficult game plan process with him in that regard, because they've over the years. He's been doing it for so long. Coach Belichick has done a ton of presentations, so you're not really sure. How many times you want Tyreek at the point of attack. There's a couple times that he was number one. There's a couple times he was number two, but he made a couple plays. And Tyreek's the same way. He was frustrated. There was an incompletion over the middle that he knew that he Tua was throwing it on time, and he knew he should have been flatter, and he kind of faded away. He got mad at himself there. And there was a couple during the game that he was frustrated, which is what you love about him, and that's what you need from your captains. So I think each and every game we'll do our best to feature him, and unless a defense has to fully commit to take him away, which is good news for the Miami Dolphins, because we have some other playmakers, which you guys saw today. There was a lot of plays that were made by a lot of guys, and then guys in space, and I think there was a couple third downs that the running backs really kept us on the field. So all of those things, we're just trying to involve all our players to the best of their ability. Some games they'll get a ton, some games they won't, but they'll keep working and getting better, which is the point.
Mike, you were talking earlier in the week about visualizing this moment in the national anthem, and so Was it what you expected, and what about the build-up as you were, you know, coming to the stadium today and all? Was it as planned, or was it?
No, it's interesting with this role, and you may call BS on this or not, whatever. But you are so, I've talked about it at length before, you're so dependent upon so many people to do so many things. You're almost, because you are in charge of so many people, you're delegating, but you're also, you're not hands-on with a lot of stuff, so you're so dependent. And as a result, you know, I never felt isolated in the least in this moment. So probably the last, I don't know, decade of football was probably the most relaxed and comfortable that I've been for a game. And it's the honest truth. And it's because you're in the, from this scope, you are, yes, you're making play calling decisions, and a lot of your planning, you know, you have to pay the piper. It's black and white, win or loss. But it's not about that. It's about doing right by all the people in the building, by the players, you know, facilitating them coming together, and then we go out and have fun doing what we do. Because if you work the right way, you shouldn't feel stressed or nervous. So to be honest, it was what I was kind of starting to piece together in the preseason that, you know, maybe this is right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, we'll see at the, you know, each game how it plays out. But I felt very comfortable, and there wasn't really any nervous energy or anything like that, which was cool that I felt like the players were that way too.
Final question,
Mike. You first NFL win as a head coach against Bill Belichick. What are your thoughts on just that statement alone, and what do you think about when you meet him?
Man, I wish all you had to do was win one game. See, that'd be cool. That's not the case. So I'm kind of thinking about week two. Again, time for reflection will come on my own time, not other people's. And right now, people don't need me to sit and think about my win-loss record. They need me to do my job, and that's what I'm focused on.
So there's undefeated Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, 1-0, had to say it. We're going to come back and react to his first post-game presser. We'll have Tua's press conference later. We also have game balls to give out, one per customer. I'll try to adhere to that rule this time around. Much more to come here on the fifth quarter post-game show. Dolphins post-game is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. And we just heard from first-time victorious head coach Mike McDaniel in his NFL debut here at Hard Rock Stadium, which actually, Big Seth, is the first place that he ever appeared in a game when he was in the Broncos staff back in 2005. Another game on September 11th, and it was also the last time the Dolphins had an opening day touchdown on defense. Was 2005.
Fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Fumble recovery. Thank you. Appreciate that. So lots of cool parallels here, but I know you're fired up talking about Coach McDaniel's post-game press conference. That was Melvin Ingram and Jason Taylor.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
2005. That's why we're going to throw it to you, our press conference consigliere here. What do you think, man? That was a fun presser.
It was a fun presser. I mean, usually when you win, they are, right? And particularly with Coach McDaniel. But there were a couple things that jumped out to me. I loved the fact that he said, hey, we're going to introduce the offense because I think people need to meet some of these new players on offense. but that he told the entire team last night in the meeting, this is still the defense's team until proven otherwise.
Yes.
That's
love that,
a big
man.
Deal. And look, this is the offensive guru coach. You
right.
know, he's calling
right.
the offensive plays. He clearly takes pride or has to eat anything that doesn't go right for the offense. He's all in on the offense. And we've seen teams where, Juice, you've probably been a part of them, where people are like, yeah, well, he only cares about one side of the ball.
Right.
He came out and told the whole team, this is the defense's team.
He's
and
so
then
self-aware.
He said, and then they proved me right. So I thought that that was really impactful. I loved this line when they asked him about the big touchdown to Jaylen Waddle, and we all got pumped up, and we thought how gutsy it was. And he said that was what happens when deliberate practice is coming to life in the biggest moment.
I love it.
Right.
So, I mean, 4th and 7, you're playing with a lead, but, you know, if you don't get it, you're giving them the ball back. Deliberate practice coming to life in the biggest moment. I thought that was a great line. And how about the fact that, you know, just like with a rookie quarterback, it wasn't too big for him, fellas. He's
right.
going up against, I don't want to call him the GOAT here in this stadium because we know who the true GOAT is. The guy who won the most games of all time is Coach Shula, but certainly the active GOAT, right? And he's going
like
up
that.
Against.
I like that. I like that.
He's going up against Bill Belichick, all the Super Bowls, all the things, and, you know, all of that. And it wasn't too big for him. And he not only was it not too big for him, he said it was the most relaxed and comfortable that he's ever
been. That's so crazy.
Right. How
right.
prepared
that's
are
so
you
crazy.
When you're walking into your first? I'd have been peeing down my leg.
I was
been nervous. A nervous
wreck.
But that's
that.
Why I'm here in the booth, guys.
Think about that. When you walked into an exam, we all went to college, you know. When you walk into an exam and you know you got the answers, you
yeah.
know how you know how it's going to go, you're way more relaxed than the one guy that was cramming. Until, like, you know, 2 hours before that.
Good comparison.
You know 100%. What I mean? Right.
100%. But here's what also is great is that he said he felt that the rest of the team felt that way as well. So if he felt relaxed and then that obviously there's that trickle down and that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Reflect leadership.
Yeah.
And if he came in here and was a nervous wreck and made it bigger than what it needed to be, what do those guys do? He was relaxed. He was prepared. And it translated to a win on the field.
It's so much self-awareness, isn't it, Juice? He just is aware of the moment, it seems like, so often. That's why I want to let you go ahead and talk now about your favorite part of that, because it kind of peels back to something we talked about earlier this week and just how he didn't want to shortchange the process, didn't want to make it about himself, and he took that approach all week this week into the game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, sense points are always – they're so on point, honestly. And what I want to, like, reiterate with that and talk about is that he let them know that this is a defensive team right now. You know what I mean? And the rest of the team understands that. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been in some locker rooms where, you know, you can say it's an offensive side and the defense might be upset. Or it's defensive side and the offense is upset. But this team gets it. You know, they understand where they're coming from. And the fact that you said that, that's so perfect that he was at a calm, you know, space within himself. It resonates throughout the whole team because you got to go out there and you need to play calm. You need to play loose. You need to go out there and play ball without being uptight because uptight leads to a lot of mistakes, a lot of big mistakes. You know what I mean? And so the fact that the head man is that way in his first real game, it's got to trickle down to the rest of the squad and the whole staff and everybody else is doing their job out there, all the way down to Joey and Charlie, you know, in the equipment room. You know what I mean?
Well, you know they're going to be prepared.
You know, they're always. They're nobody more prepared than those guys. You know, so that fact that it starts there, man, and nobody's on edge. You got to play the game a little bit on edge, but when you know you're prepared, you know you're ready to go, you know you've done all the work, and, you know, that's the most important part, man. When you know you've done everything you can do to go out there and be successful, it starts with the head man. He felt that way, and so the rest of the players.
Your point reminds me, going back, you know, and Seth as well, going back to the 4th and 8 call, being that prepared, being that confident, not having those nerves. I don't think you make that call if you're at all kind of like in your feelings or maybe a little insecure about, like, I don't know, I don't want to lose this first game, you know. I don't want to be the reason that's on SportsCenter tonight. Like, what are they doing going for it on 4th and 8? He wasn't thinking that at all. He was thinking, my guys are going to go out there and execute, and they did it for him. I'm glad that I got the last word here because you guys, there was only one part that I had in my notes that you didn't cover, and it was him talking about the running backs making plays.
Yeah.
Because you look at the box score today, it was wasn't pretty for the backs, especially in the rushing department. Chase Edmonds had 12 for 25. Raheem Mostert had 5 for 16. But Chase did have 4 catches for 40, and Mostert had 1 for 16. And the 1 for 16 on Mostert was a huge, huge play where he broke 2 tackles.
Yeah. Yep.
Edmonds had a couple of big conversions on third downs. There was one where he replaced the blitz, and Tua found him. I thought it was one of Tua's best plays of the day, and Chase made that play as well. So he covered a lot of ground in that press conference, Big Seth, talking about the execution of his guys, the preparation of the team, and you know, to Juice's point, man, I really think that this mentality he has, this aggressiveness he has, is going to wind up rubbing off on the rest of the team, just like it has all summer long, all off season, with everybody having this optimistic view, picking each other up, and just being a fun place to work.
Yeah, I mean, clearly that we saw that all off season carried over to today. But then again, like every great head coach, let's not get too high. Sure. Let's not get too low.
Right.
Hey, it'd be really cool if you only had to win one game. How great
right.
was that?
Right.
I wish you only had to win one game, but
right.
you don't. What does everybody need me to do? They need me to do my job.
Right.
And you know that he gave that same message to the team.
Right.
And so he is an excitable guy. He is the pat you on the back guy, to lift you up guy, to make you feel good and all of those things. But at the same time, let's not just – this is one win. Let's
right.
understand the big picture. So – I mean, he was as good in this press conference as he was out there on the sideline today.
Yeah, yeah, and that's important, man, right there. You know, it's amazing. A first-time guy that gets it, bro. He gets it, man. He understands the importance of every single thing and doesn't overemphasize anything that he's done already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going against, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, more championships than anybody. But at the same time, though, he puts it in perspective. You know, it's a great win, but look, we got this. This is the first game of the season. We got 16 more.
There's
these
a whole
damn
season
things.
Left, right? Literally
you
a whole season.
We're gonna,
more games,
and we're going to see them again.
Right.
So we don't want to be too crazy about this win. Great win. It's hard to get to 2-0 like I talked about without going 1-0. You know,
damn near impossible.
It's absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And so, within the division, I love you guys' take on it. You know, this is 1.5 game win. This is not just a one game win.
Moneyball.
Within the division is huge. And you know, New England's a team we've been chasing for a long time. You know, and we've done well down here. We did it last year. I think the year before. Now we got to continue this trend. Beating these teams, you know, within our division, but for sure the next team that we run into within the conference. So, big time win. Always love the press conference, man, because
he's so good.
It's hard to imagine a guy that gets as much as this guy does with his first round of being a head man in a major sport in this country. And so he's fun to watch, fun to listen to, but more importantly, he's already on to the next week,
right,
which I like about him more than anything.
Which he foreshadowed for us when he talked in his press conference this week, saying,
"This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live."
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. And we just heard from first-time victorious head coach Mike McDaniel in his NFL debut here at Hard Rock Stadium, which actually, Big Seth, is the first place that he ever appeared in a game when he was in the Broncos staff back in 2005. Another game on September 11th, and it was also the last time the Dolphins had an opening day touchdown on defense was 2005.
Fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Fumble recovery. Thank you. Appreciate that. So lots of cool parallels here, but I know you're fired up talking about Coach McDaniel's post-game press conference. That was Melvin Ingram and Jason Taylor.
Okay. I just
back
make
in
sure.
2005. That's why we're going to throw it to you, our press conference consigliere here. What do you think, man? That was a fun presser.
It was a fun presser. I mean, usually when you win, they are, right? And particularly with Coach McDaniel. But there were a couple things that jumped out to me. I loved the fact that he said, hey, we're going to introduce the offense because I think people need to meet some of these new players on offense. But that he told the entire team last night in the meeting, this is still the defense's team until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And look, this is the offensive guru coach. You know, he's calling the offensive plays. He clearly takes pride or has to eat anything that doesn't go right for the offense. He's all in on the offense. And we've seen teams where, Juice, you've probably been a part of them, where people are like, yeah, well, he only cares about one side of the ball.
Right.
He came out and told the whole team, this is the defense's team.
He's
and
so
then he
self-aware.
Said, and then they proved me right. So I thought that that was really impactful. I loved this line when they asked him about the big touchdown to Jalen Waddle, and we all got pumped up, and we thought how gutsy it was. And he said that was what happens when deliberate practice is coming to life in the biggest moment.
I love it.
Right.
So, I mean, 4th and 7, you're playing with a lead, but, you know, if you don't get it, you're giving them the ball back. Deliberate practice coming to life in the biggest moment. I thought that was a great line. And how about the fact that, you know, just like with a rookie quarterback, it wasn't too big for him, fellas. He's going up against – I don't want to call him the GOAT here in this stadium because we know who the true GOAT is. The guy who won the most games of all time is Coach Shula, but certainly the active GOAT, right? And he's going
like
up
that.
Against
– I like that. I like that.
He's going up against Bill Belichick, all the Super Bowls, all the things, and, you know, all of that, and it wasn't too big for him. And he not only was it not too big for him, he said it's the most relaxed and comfortable that he's ever
That's
been.
That's so crazy.
How prepared
That's
are
so
you
crazy.
When you're walking into your first – I'd have been peeing down my leg.
I was
nervous. Nervous wreck.
But that's
why I'm here in the booth, guys.
Think about that. When you walked into an exam, we all went to college, you know, when you walk into an exam and you know you got the answers, you know how it's going to go, you're way more relaxed than the one guy that was cramming until, like, you know, 2 hours before that.
That's a good comparison.
You know 100%. What I mean? Right.
100%. But here's what also is great. Is that he said he felt that the rest of the team felt that way as well. So if he felt relaxed, and then that obviously there's that trickle down, and that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Reflect leadership.
Yeah.
And if he came in here and was a nervous wreck and made it bigger than what it needed to be, what do those guys do? He was relaxed. He was prepared. And it translated to a win on the field.
It's so much self-awareness, isn't it, Juice? He just is aware of the moment, it seems like, so often. That's why I want to let you go ahead and talk now about your favorite part of that, because it kind of peels back to something we talked about earlier this week and just how he didn't want to shortchange the process, didn't want to make it about himself, and he took that approach all week this week into the game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, Seth's points are always – they're so on point, honestly. And what I want to, like, reiterate with that and talk about is that he let them know that this is a defensive team right now. You know what I mean? And the rest of the team understands that. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been in some locker rooms where, you know, you can say it's an offensive side and the defense might be upset, or it's defensive side and the offense is upset. But this team gets it. You know, they understand where they're coming from. And the fact that you said that, that's so perfect that he was at a calm, you know, space within himself. It resonates throughout the whole team, because you got to go out there and you need to play calm. You need to play loose. You need to go out there and play ball without being uptight, because uptight leads to a lot of mistakes, a lot of big mistakes. You know what I mean? And so the fact that the head man is that way in his first real game, it's got to trickle down to the rest of the squad and the whole staff, and everybody else is doing their job out there, all the way down to Joey and Charlie, you know, in the equipment room. You know what I mean?
Well, you know they're going to be prepared.
You know, they're always. They're nobody more prepared than those guys. You know, so that fact that it starts there, man, and nobody's on edge. You've got to play the game a little bit on edge, but when you know you're prepared, you know you're ready to go, you know you've done all the work, and, you know, that's the most important part, man. When you know you've done everything you can do to go out there and be successful, it starts with the head man. He felt that way, and so the rest of the players.
Your point reminds me, going back, you know, and Seth as well, going back to the 4th and 8 call, being that prepared, being that confident, not having those nerves. I don't think you make that call if you're at all kind of like in your feelings or maybe a little insecure about, like, I don't know, I don't want to lose this first game, you know. I don't want to be the reason that's on SportsCenter tonight. Like, what are they doing going for it on 4th and 8? He wasn't thinking that at all. He was thinking, my guys are going to go out there and execute, and they did it for him. I'm glad that I got the last word here, because you guys, there was only one part that I had in my notes that you didn't cover, and it was him talking about the running backs making plays.
Yeah.
Because you look at the box score today, it wasn't pretty for the backs, especially in the rushing department. Chase Edmonds had 12 for 25. Raheem Mostert had 5 for 16. But Chase did have 4 catches for 40, and Mostert had 1 for 16. And the 1 for 16 on Mostert was a huge, huge play where he broke 2 tackles.
Yeah. Yep.
Edmonds had a couple of big conversions on third downs. There was one where he replaced the blitz and Tua found him. I thought it was one of Tua's best plays of the day, and Chase made that play as well. So he covered a lot of ground in that press conference, Big Seth, talking about the execution of his guys, the preparation of the team, and you know, to Juice's point, man, I really think that this mentality he has, this aggressiveness he has, is going to wind up rubbing off on the rest of the team, just like it has all summer long, all off season, with everybody having this optimistic view, picking each other up, and just being a fun place to work.
Yeah, I mean, clearly that we saw that all off season carried over to today. But then again, like every great head coach, let's not get too high. Sure. Let's not get too low. Right. Hey, it'd be really cool if you only had to win one game. How great was that? Right. I wish you only had to win one game, but you don't. What does everybody need me to do? They need me to do my job. Right. And you know that he gave that same message to the team. Right. And so he is an excitable guy. He is the pat you on the back guy, the lift you up guy, to make you feel good and all of those things. But at the same time, let's not just – this is one win. Let's understand the big picture. So – I mean, he was as good in this press conference as he was out there on the sideline today.
Yeah, yeah, and that's important, man, right there. You know, it's amazing. A first-time guy that gets it, bro. He gets it, man. He understands the importance of every single thing and doesn't overemphasize anything that he's done already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going against, Bill Belichick, you know, more championships than anybody. But at the same time, though, he puts it in perspective. Yeah, it's a great win, but look, we got this. This is the first game of the season. We got 16 more.
There's
these
a whole season
things.
Left, right? Literally
you
a whole season.
We're gonna, and
16
we're
more games,
and we're going to see them again.
Right.
So we don't want to be too crazy about this win. Great win. It's hard to get to 2-0 like I talked about without going 1-0. You know,
damn near impossible.
It's absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And so, within the division, I love you guys' take on it. You know, this is 1.5 game win. This is not just a one game win.
Moneyball.
Within the division is huge. And you know, New England's a team we've been chasing for a long time. You know, and we've done well down here. We did it last year. I think the year before. Now we got to continue this trend. They're beating these teams, you know, within our division, but for sure the next team that we run into within the conference. So, big time win. Always love the press conference, man, because
he's so good.
It's hard to imagine a guy that gets as much as this guy does with his first round of being a head man in a major sport in this country. And so he's fun to watch, fun to listen to, but more importantly, he's already on to the next week, which I like about him more than anything.
Which he foreshadowed for us when he talked in his press conference this week, saying, you talk about self-awareness, he gets it. We're either crowned or we suck based upon the results of week one, but what's for sure is there's a week two. That was one of my favorite quotes he ever said. He said that earlier this week. And you also mentioned beating the Patriots again down here. Speaking of that, fourth straight win by Tua Tagovailoa over a Bill Belichick coach team. No other quarterback has ever done that before. What a great stat that is to take us in a break here. Speaking of that, Tua is going to be up here next, his post-game press conference. Dolphins post-game is driven by Gunther Mazda. You've got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. Guys, we talked a little bit about Tua Tagovailoa's performance in that previous segment, talking about Coach McDaniel empowering his guys and getting this result today. And Tua winds up 23 for 33, 270 yards and a touchdown, a 104.4 rating. And we talked about this a little bit, guys. A little bit of meat left on the bone there in terms of some of the, you know, the accuracy of the passes, which we know that's like the strong suit of his game, but he had some misses today. And I don't want to kill him for that because he played a winning performance and had the team out here, you know, moving up and down the field there at times, but we do kind of feel like there's more to be had in this passing offense, right? Juice, like that last drive when he rolled to his left and had Trent Sherfield hit that throw, man. There's a couple of throws in this game where I thought they could have put the game away early with this offense the way it was cooking.
Absolutely, man. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that maturity, that maturation, you know, from the last couple years to those situations right there. And it would be nice to, you know, to be able to put teams away. More disappointing than anything was the third quarter, you know, getting the ball, scoring before the half, and then being able, going out there and not getting anything done before, you know, for the next series. But we have to have an offense that's going to be complementary to this defense. And that's what most great teams have. It's a, you know, we talked about Coach McDaniel talking about how the defense is where our bread is butter, basically, sure. You know. Offense got to be take that to heart, and they got to also think like, look, we got to do our part. And so, great first half. Second half, you know what I mean, we got to go out there and do some things to give our defense a little bit of a break. So, yeah, great numbers. I mean, those numbers are going to – was 104, you said, was the passer rating?
Yeah, yeah.
104 is a nice passer rating, but bottom line for me – is what are we doing late in games when we need production or a drive or anything like that? And that's something we're going to work on.
And there was I think the big part that I liked Juice was the fact that he averaged 8.2 yards per pass, which, you know, last year it was sometimes it was a struggle to get over 6 or 7 yards,
right.
Which is right, you know, you want to be over 7, but 8.2 kind of speaks to just like, I think, Seth, the playmakers that he has at his disposal this year. I mean, we saw Tyreek go up and kind of steal a potential turnover and turn it into 26-yard gain. The screen game with those guys involved too, it's just, you know, I think one of the things we heard in the press box was this is the same quarterback with better weapons. I don't agree with that. But I think you saw those better weapons today really kind of maximize this offense.
There's no question. And I think, you know, I hate to use the word better here, but
Can I stop you for a second?
I mean, it's your house, Juice.
No, I'm saying that was the comment, like, same quarterback with better any quarterback with better
box.
Any quarterback with better weapons is going to make
Well, that was my response.
That was my response.
No, I didn't make the comment.
Okay,
I responded to the comment and said, "That's
man,
every quarterback in
lucky
the league."
I wasn't in that, John.
Yeah,
man.
I mean,
I'd have went off.
That's why you're sitting in the alumni suite with all of the greats, and why Travis and I are where we're at for a lot of different reasons, right? But there's no question that give any player in the greatest team sport on the planet, give any player a better supporting cast. And everybody's going to be better. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I also think you got to give some credit to the play calling.
Yeah.
And the concepts, right? And the routes and the way, you know, there were a lot of options there. There were plays that were successful where we thought there were other guys that were open as well and that he had a choice. And did he make the right choice or, you know, how did it work out? So I think there was a lot of that. And you know, you could take, I guess, glasses half full or glasses half empty. There were some throws that we wish we would have seen Tua make that he didn't make, that he typically has made in the past.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that he'll start to make those more than he misses them. And if this is a quote-unquote down game where you have 104 passer rating, you don't turn the ball over, right? You don't turn the ball over. You spread the ball around. Again, room to grow. Room to grow, room to get better as the season progresses. There were some things. Can we just teach him to tuck the ball, though? When there's pressure on him, and we're not – like, if we're losing, if the Dolphins are losing, and it's third down or whatever, fourth down or whatever, and you got to make a play, fight for that and take the chances. But when you're protecting a lead, when you're on the other team's side of the field, I don't mind if you tuck the ball and take a sack and wait and chalk it up and get up there in the next play. Heck, you scored a touchdown on 4th and 7. You know, so we heard Coach talk about be patient and let the defense do what they do to give you the ball back. I think there's an opportunity to be patient there as well. But when that ball's out there loosey-goose and you're trying to make – you're getting spun around and throw – you know, thank goodness none of those turned into some disastrous plays. But that's something that I have to imagine this offensive coaching staff is going to run back and film. And Tua probably already knows it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to imagine they're going to sit there and say, Tua, let's not try and play hero ball in all of these plays.
Especially when you talk about a team. The coach admits that's a defensive team right now. So just don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Just don't mess it up, man. You don't have to win it. Just don't lose it for us in those situations like that.
And you got guys who can go back and get you the chunk yardage.
Correct.
You didn't have that in the past.
Correct.
So it's not like you got to get 10 more plays to make that yardage up. You might be able to get a quick hitter and make it up in one
1,000%.
Play. So, yeah, I'm with you, Juice.
Seth, you touched on kind of the design and the look of it. And I thought that was a big improvement, too, as far as just like guys firing off the ball. I think I mentioned to you a few times in the press box how it seemed like even though the running game wasn't cranking, a lot of the contact was happening after the line of scrimmage opposed to in their own backfield where they have to create just to get back to the line to make a no gain out of it. I think there's some correctable mistakes there. It should be a fun tape to watch. You guys know I'll be doing that tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Got to do it.
Got to get the all-22. Hey,
you diving in deep?
Of course.
2 yards in a cloud of dust is a lot better than 0 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yes,
I'll tell you that much.
I'll be diving in deep tomorrow. Then on Tuesday, the fish tank, you guys dive in there as well. So we'll do that in the podcast network. But a couple more points. I just kind of took some notes there while you guys were talking. second. You know, the offensive line, the attrition they kind of dealt with. Oh, wow, what a drop that was in the Green Bay game.
Sorry. You better stop.
Focus up.
Stay focused here.
We talked about the game of the week.
I heard it on drive time.
the surprise to me that we didn't hear about postgame was how much they had to deal with on the offensive line, because you lost Austin Jackson, didn't return. Greg Little went out for a series and came back. Teron Armstead went down for a series and came back. We saw Liam Eichenberg kick out to left tackle, Robert Hunt kick out to right tackle, and so that's something they're going to have to deal with and find, you know, their answers and mix and match.
I miss all that.
Going forward.
I miss all that. I saw.
Well, you were too busy rubbing elbows with Mark Duper and AJ Duhay.
I was doing my thing, man. I'm working for the tank as well.
And doing it well. Do we have a guest lined up?
No, we don't, bro. We're getting there. Trent Gamble's coming.
Okay.
I did think that in general,
who by the way had a fumble return for a touchdown in a season opener.
Perfect. Look at that. It all ties back. What a day of callbacks this has been today for us so far.
That's what happens when you're with old guys.
I'm going to call back to 2 minutes ago and just go keep on making my point here.
If you didn't start talking about a different game, we wouldn't have gone off the rails.
I was like, that's a touchdown. He drops it right off.
It's your fault,
Travis. Fingertips. We are officially off the rails. But no, I mean, it was a game where I thought there was a little bit too much pressure. Yeah. I was very upset. And, you know, you guys know it went from Seth Tagovailoa to Travis Wingfield. Vola or something, whatever word the last name is going to be there. But that the third down where he didn't lose the fumble, but he did fumble the ball, and the Dolphins fell back on it. Connor Williams got beat pretty quickly, and he was the one that recovered the fumble, which typically is what happens.
Always, right? Or sacks or recover from
But that pressure.
Thank goodness he did, right?
You felt it. It was one hitch. You didn't get the ball out. And then after that point, like, you got to know, man. Like, you can't be loose with that football in that area. So that was
a little
bit.
Well, you know, Travis, on the empty, we talked about it. Yep, we chatted back and forth. Empty set. It's got to be quick. If you don't let it go when it's supposed to go in an empty set, then it's going to be a problem, man. And, you know, he should know that no matter what. If somebody's not there, let it rip, or we're going to have bad situations right there, man. So, yeah, you're right, man. It's like, I hate to say it, in the third year, but this is a growing and learning experience right there. We go empty, empty's quick. If you don't let it rip right away, let it rip somewhere else. But if not, like you talked about, protect the pigskin, bro.
And those are the moments where if you compare plays in those moments with the schemed up stuff that McDaniel does, that's when you get a quarterback playing at a very high level, and this team can really take off from there. And to another point you guys mentioned that I kind of wrote some notes down on, man, show me a great quarterback that didn't have a great receiver. Like Josh Allen, you know, when he took off, when they went and got Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen's a freaking unicorn, so I'm not going to like disparage him, but Stephon Diggs was a big part of that offense becoming what it was. Patrick Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for his entire career. Aaron Rodgers had Devontae Adams. Look at what Kyler Murray got with DeAndre Hopkins, and now his old teammate with the Ravens receiver they brought in this year. Matt Stafford gets Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp, and Derek Carr gets Devontae Adams. Like, all the best quarterbacks get good receivers because teams want to build around their investment. And so I really, really, really hate that argument is my whole point here.
Right,
so come away with the victory today. I think it was a big win today, guys, especially with at Baltimore, Buffalo, and at Cincinnati on deck. It was a very crucial win as the Dolphins do get this one on the Dolphins postgame show here, which is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You listen to Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Guys, we heard from head coach Mike
Real
McDaniel.
Quick, no disrespect, but I like Juice's version of that commercial.
Yeah, Fissel.
I'm just saying.
You know, I do too.
He did a great job. But
really knocked out that read.
Fissel sponsor the Miami Dolphins. Let's go.
Official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. And this is now your official place you can hear Tua Tagovailoa at the podium postgame.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of confidence in us. Yeah, I think you look at the way the game went. You know, we got started a little slow. And then there were peaks where we were driving the ball down the field. We just couldn't finish. You know, there were also times where, you know, we had communication errors within our headset, and we couldn't fully get the play communicated to the guys as well. And so it was kind of on the fly things like, hey, we don't have a play. Let's go to this play, or let's just go to this play.
You know, and there, all those things are things that we can clean up. But, you know, I think Mike has the utmost confidence in us from things that we've shown in practice, from things that we've done throughout training camp, and also, you know, when we've had joint practices.
So you embrace when it's fourth down and you guys go for it, you embrace something like that?
I love it, yeah. He has the utmost confidence in the entire offense, that's why. Sorry, three guys just asked the question, like right here.
Same question. So, play before half. Just take us through the logistics of going for on fourth down and then play it. So.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the logistics are going for it on fourth down where we were on the field, but you know what I do know is Mike had, you know, confidence in us that when we did call that play, we were going to make it work. And so we did make it work, you know, and Jalen ended up scoring for us. So that was nice.
I know Mike said he didn't want to make it about himself, but, you know, getting his first game as head coach out the way, getting the victory, the Gatorade bath celebration, just what was that like as a team and, you know, your thoughts on that?
I thought that was awesome. It was awesome to see the team come together under Mike McDaniel. You know, that's his first win as a head coach for the Miami Dolphins. So it's something special. And he's always said that he wanted to come here and create something special. And it's just the beginning.
You guys did a lot of great things. There were some breakdowns. There was sack. You had sack a few times. You were throwing the ball away a few times. Just how do you come up? What do you take coming out of this?
I mean, what I take coming out of this is, you know, what can we learn from this? We'll go back, watch the film. And then we'll, you know, reassess and get back to work on Wednesday.
The team is for the 50th anniversary for the 72 team, and the quarterbacks was the group that was honored today. I want to know, have you had any chance to speak with Bob Greasy, and what has your conversations with him been like?
I've never had the opportunity to speak with Bob Greasy. The only person I've really been around has been Dan. So, you know, I have many conversations with Dan.
To what Mike McDaniel said, this is still the defense's team until proven otherwise. What do you think when you hear that? What do you want to do about them?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen what the defense was able to do for us. I would say they were the momentum changers for us. You know, with the interceptions, with the turnovers that they had. Offensively, we just didn't capitalize. But, you know, I think the overall picture with as much as we wanted to do offensively and as much as we didn't get to, do successfully offensively, you know, we still came out with a win. So I think that's a big positive for us.
There's so much talk about Tyreek and what he means to this offense. What was it like there in game one having that option and obviously the connection you had with him?
Yeah, I would say it's a continuation of growing for, you know, the timing of me and Tyreek with, you know, continuing to learn what he likes, what he doesn't like. And it's a continuation still with Jalen and with all the other guys within our receiving core.
Your first drive, you have third one, you throw a deep pass. And then you're suggesting you're going to go for it on fourth and run. The play didn't get run, obviously, because they jumped off. Is this a changed mindset from, say, your first couple years of aggressiveness going for it on fourth down, short?
Well, I never thought that we'd go for it, but that's, you know, Mike told me, like, stay in there, you know, we're going to go for it. And, you know, we had calls that we wanted to call, and I wasn't sure when we were going to call them. So with it being, you know, on the first drive, that was a little surprise. But, I mean, really nothing should surprise me with Mike's.
You were going to run a play, right?
Yeah, we were going to run a play. Yep.
Tua, can you walk us through the touchdown pass to Waddle? And did you have any flashes back to your days with him at the University of Alabama?
Yeah. Well, they were playing a one high coverage. You know, Waddle ran his route, got open, just gave him the ball, and he did the rest. I would say it was hard in the moment to have any sort of flashbacks of our time at Alabama. You know, it was just awesome to see what he did. You know, with the ball after he caught it.
So just what did it feel like having Tyreek Hill for a whole game and just being able to consistently go
ahead? Oh, it feels awesome. It feels awesome having someone like Tyreek. you know, I'll keep saying this, dude's a cheat code. You know, it's not easy covering this guy. You know, when he's motioning, when he's running routes off of motions and doing his thing. So, you know, I love it.
So, would you like to be able to get to the running game a little bit earlier in the game, maybe, and some rundowns, maybe set up play action? Like, was that more of a plan today than you ended up getting?
Well, I mean, our game plan was to score points and as much points as we could. For us offensively, you know, Mike says that our offense is not aggressive. That's just the style that we play, whereas other people think it's aggressive. You know, for us, whatever call Mike, you know, decides to choose for us to run, that's what we're going to run, whether it's trying to set up a play action pass or not. You know, we'd like to do a little better in the run game, but, you know, I think that's what the first week is for. We got all the jitters out. Everyone got their first real live action of a game, you know, and had all four quarters. So, like I always say, we'll go back into the film room. We'll talk about it. We'll go through it, get everything corrected, and, you know, we'll come back Wednesday.
So, if you're 4-0 against the Patriots, not a lot of quarterbacks can say that in the past 2 decades. What does it take against New England? And is there a heightened awareness that you have to go into the game with how basic you go?
Yeah, that's not an individual accolade, or I don't even look at it close to being that. It's a team sport, and this team has won 4 games straight against New England. So, you know, however way you see it, however way you put it, that's what it is.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
So there's Tua after the victory. He is now 14-8 as a starter here with the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins fans, you
want to know
here,
this year.
Want to know this year. It's all that matters. You can be here for the live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Mazda. Final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. Guys, we talked a little bit about Tua Tagovailoa's performance in that previous segment, talking about Coach McDaniel empowering his guys and getting this result today. And Tua winds up 23 for 33, 270 yards and a touchdown, a 104.4 rating. And we talked about this a little bit, guys, a little bit of meat left on the bone there in terms of some of the, you know, the accuracy of the passes, which we know that's like the strong suit of his game, but he had some misses today. And I don't want to kill him for that because he played a winning performance and had the team out here, you know, moving up and down the field there at times, but we do kind of feel like there's more to be had in this passing offense, right? Juice, like that last drive when he rolled to his left and had Trent Sherfield hit that throw, man. There's a couple of throws in this game where I thought they could have put the game away early with this offense the way it was cooking.
Absolutely, man. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that maturity, that maturation, you know, from the last couple of years to those situations right there. And it would be nice to, you know, to be able to put teams away. More disappointing than anything was the third quarter, you know, getting the ball, scoring before the half, and then being able going out there and not getting anything done before, you know, for the next series. But we have to have an offense that's going to be complementary to this defense. And that's what most great teams have. Is a, you know, we talked about Coach McDaniel talking about how the defense is where our bread is butter, basically, sure. You know. Offense got to be take that to heart. And they got to also think like, look, we got to do our part. And so, great first half. Second half, you know what I mean, we got to go out there and do some things to give our defense a little bit of a break. So, yeah, great numbers. I mean, those numbers are going to – was 104, you said, was the passer rating?
Yeah, yeah.
104 is a nice passer rating. But bottom line for me is what are we doing late in games when we need production or a drive or anything like that. And that's something that we're going to work on.
And there, I think the big part that I like Juice was the fact that he averaged 8.2 yards per pass, which, you know, last year it was sometimes it was a struggle to get over 6 or 7 yards, right. Which is right, you know, you want to be over 7, but 8.2 kind of speaks to just, like, I think, Seth, the playmakers that he has at his disposal this year. I mean, we saw Tyreek go up and kind of steal a potential turnover and turn it into 26-yard gain. The screen game with those guys involved too, it's just, you know, I think one of the things we heard in the press box was this is the same quarterback with better weapons. I don't agree with that, but I think you saw those better weapons today really kind of maximize this offense.
There's no question. And I think, you know, I hate to use the word better here, but
can I stop you for a second?
I mean, it's your house, Juice.
No, I'm saying that was the comment, like, same quarterback with better
any
quarterback
with
better every any quarterback with better weapons is going to make.
Well, that was my response. No, no, I didn't make the comment.
Okay,
I responded to the comment and said, that's
man,
every quarterback in the
lucky
league.
I wasn't in that, John.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, I'd
have went off.
That's why you're sitting in the alumni suite with all of the greats and why Travis and I are where we're at for a lot of different reasons, right? But, yeah, there's no question that give any player in the greatest team sport on the planet, give any player a better supporting cast – and everybody's going to be better. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I also think you got to give some credit to the play calling.
Yeah.
And the concepts, right? And the routes and the way, you know, there were a lot of options there. There were plays that were successful where we thought there were other guys that were open as well and that he had a choice. And did he make the right choice or, you know, how did it work out? So I think there was a lot of that. And you know, you could take, I guess, glasses half full or glasses half empty. There were some throws that we wish we would have seen Tua make that he didn't make, that he typically has made in the past. Yeah. I'd like to think that he'll start to make those more than he misses them. And if this is a quote-unquote down game where you have 104 passer rating, you don't turn the ball over, right? You don't turn the ball over. You spread the ball around. Again, room to grow. Room to grow, room to get better as the season progresses. There were some things. Can we just teach him to tuck the ball, though? When there's pressure on him, and we're not – like, if we're losing, if the Dolphins are losing, and it's third down or whatever, fourth down or whatever, and you got to make a play, fight for that and take the chances. But when you're protecting a lead, when you're on the other team's side of the field, I don't mind if you tuck the ball and take a sack and wait and chalk it up and get up there in the next play. Heck, you scored a touchdown on 4th and 7. You know, so we heard Coach talk about be patient and let the defense do what they do to give you the ball back. I think there's an opportunity to be patient there as well. But when that ball's out there loosey-goose and you're trying to make – you're getting spun around and throw – you know, thank goodness none of those turned into some disastrous plays. But that's something that I have to imagine this offensive coaching staff is going to run back and film. And Tua probably already knows it. Mm-hmm. But I have to imagine they're going to sit there and say, Tua, let's not try and play hero ball in all of these plays.
Especially when you talk about a team. The coach admits that's a defensive team right now. So just don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Just don't mess it up, man. You don't have to win it. Just don't lose it for us in those situations like that.
And you got guys who can go back and get you the chunk yardage.
Correct.
You didn't have that in the past.
Correct.
So it's not like you got to get 10 more plays to make that yardage up. You might be able to get a quick hitter and make it up in one
1,000%.
Play. So, yeah, I'm with you, Juice.
Seth, you touched on kind of the design and the look of it. And I thought that was a big improvement, too, as far as just like guys firing off the ball. I think I mentioned to you a few times in the press box how it seemed like even though the running game wasn't cranking, a lot of the contact was happening after the line of scrimmage opposed to in their own backfield where they have to create just to get back to the line to make a no gain out of it. I think there's some correctable mistakes there. It should be a fun tape to watch. You guys know I'll be doing that tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Got to do it.
Got to get the all-22.
Hey, you diving in deep?
Of course.
2 yards in a cloud of dust is a lot better than 0 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yes,
I'll tell you that much.
I'll be diving in deep tomorrow. Then on Tuesday, the fish tank, you guys dive in there as well. So we'll do that in the podcast network. But a couple more points. I just kind of took some notes there while you guys were talking. You know, the offensive line, the attrition they kind of dealt with. Oh, wow, what a drop there was in the Green Bay game.
Sorry. Stop. You better stop.
Focus,
stay focused here.
We talk
game
about
of the week. I heard it on drive time.
the surprise to me that we didn't hear about postgame was how much they had to deal with on the offensive line because you lost Austin Jackson, didn't return. Greg Little went out for a series and came back. Teron Armstead went down for a series and came back. We saw Liam Eichenberg kick out to left tackle, Robert Hunt kick out to right tackle, and so that's something they're going to have to deal with and find, you know, their answers and mix and match.
I miss all that
going forward.
I saw
you were too busy rubbing elbows with Mark Duper and AJ Duhe.
I was doing my thing, man. I'm trying to work for the tank as well,
and
though.
Doing it well.
I'm working
and doing
for the
it well.
Tank
do we have
well.
A guest lined up?
No, we don't, bro. We're getting there. Trent Gamble's coming.
Okay.
I did think that in general there
who, by the way, had a fumble return for a touchdown in a season opener.
Perfect. Look at that. It all ties back. What a day of callbacks this has been today for us so far.
That's what happens when you're with old guys.
I'm going to call back to 2 minutes ago and just go keep on making my point here.
If you didn't start talking about a different game, we wouldn't have gone off the rails.
I was like, that's a touchdown. He drops it right off.
It's your fault,
Travis. Fingertips. We are officially off the rails. But, no, I mean, it was a game where I thought there was a little bit too much pressure. I was very upset. And, you know, you guys know it went from Seth Tungavailoa to Travis Wingfula-Vola or something, whatever the last name is going to be there. But that the third down where he didn't lose the fumble, but he did fumble the ball, and the Dolphins fell back on it. Connor Williams got beat pretty quickly, and he was the one that recovered the fumble, which typically is what happens.
Always, right? Or sacks or recover from
But that pressure.
Thank goodness he did, right?
You felt it. It was one hitch. You didn't get the ball out. And then after that point, like, you got to know, man. Like, you can't be loose with that football in that area. So that was
a little
bit.
Well, you know, Travis, on the empty, we talked about it. Yep. We chatted back and forth. Empty set has got to be quick. If you don't let it go when it's supposed to go in an empty set, then it's going to be a problem, man. And, you know, he should know that no matter what. If somebody's not there, let it rip, or we're going to have bad situations right there, man. So, yeah, you're right, man. It's like, I hate to say it, see it in the third year, but this is a growing and learning experience right there. We go empty, empty's quick. If you don't let it rip right away, let it rip somewhere else. But if not, like you talked about, protect the pigskin, bro.
And those are the moments where if you compare plays in those moments with the schemed up stuff that McDaniel does, that's when you get a quarterback playing at a very high level, and this team can really take off from there. And to another point you guys mentioned that I kind of wrote some notes down on, man, show me a great quarterback that didn't have a great receiver. Like Josh Allen, you know, when he took off, when they went and got Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen's a freaking unicorn, so I'm not going to like disparage him, but Stephon Diggs was a big part of that offense becoming what it was. Patrick Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for his entire career. Aaron Rodgers had Devontae Adams. Look at what Kyler Murray got with DeAndre Hopkins, and now his old teammate with the Ravens receiver they brought in this year. Matt Stafford gets Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp, and Derek Carr gets Devontae Adams. Like, all the best quarterbacks get good receivers because teams want to build around their investment. And so I really, really, really hate that argument is my whole point here.
Right,
so come away with the victory today. I think it was a big win today, guys, especially with at Baltimore, Buffalo, and at Cincinnati on deck. It was a very crucial win as the Dolphins do get this one on the Dolphins postgame show here, which is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Guys, we heard from head coach Mike
Real
McDaniel.
Quick, no disrespect, but I like Juice's version of that commercial.
Yeah, Fissel.
I'm just saying.
You know, I do too.
He did a great job. But
really knocked out that read.
Fissel sponsor the Miami Dolphins. Let's go.
Official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. And this is now your official place you can hear Tua Tagovailoa at the podium postgame.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of confidence in us. Yeah, I think you look at the way the game went. You know, we got started a little slow. And then there were peaks where we were driving the ball down the field. We just couldn't finish. You know, there were also times where, you know, we had communication errors within our headset, and we couldn't fully get the play communicated to the guys as well. And so it was kind of on the fly things like, hey, we don't have a play. Let's go to this play, or let's just go to this play. You know, and there, all those things are things that we can clean up. But, you know, I think Mike has the utmost confidence in us from things that we've shown in practice, from things that we've done throughout training camp, and also, you know, when we've had joint practices.
So you embrace when it's fourth down and you guys go for it, you embrace something like that?
I love it, yeah. He has the utmost confidence in the entire offense, that's why. Sorry, three guys just asked the question, like right here.
Same question. So, play before half. Just take us through the logistics of going for a fourth down and then play itself.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the logistics are going for it on fourth down where we were on the field, but you know what I do know is Mike had you know, confidence in us that when we did call that play, we were going to make it work. And so we did make it work, you know, and Jalen ended up scoring for us. So that was nice.
Mike said he didn't want to make it about himself, but, you know, getting his first game as head coach out the way, getting the victory, the Gatorade bath celebration, just what was that like as a team and, you know, your thoughts on that?
I thought that was awesome. It was awesome to see the team come together under Mike McDaniel. You know, that's his first win as a head coach for the Miami Dolphins. So it's something special. And he's always said that he wanted to come here and create something special. And it's just the beginning.
What I take coming out of this is,
you know, what can we learn from this? We'll go back, watch the film, and then we'll, you know, reassess, and get back to work on Wednesday.
And the quarterbacks was the group that was honored today. I want to know, have you had any chance to speak with Bob Greasy, and what has your conversations with him been like?
I've never had the opportunity to speak with Bob Greasy. The only person I've really been around has been Dan. So, you know, I have many conversations with Dan.
To what Mike McDaniel said, this is still the defense's team until proven otherwise. What do you think when you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen what the defense was able to do for us. I would say they were the momentum changers for us. You know, with the interceptions, with the turnovers that they had. Offensively, we just didn't capitalize. But, you know, I think the overall picture, with as much as we wanted to do offensively and as much as we didn't get to, you know, do successfully offensively, you know, we still came out with a win. So I think that's a big positive for us.
There's so much talk about Tyreek and what he means to this offense. What was it like there in game one, having that option and obviously the connection you had with him?
Yeah, I would say it's a continuation of growing for, you know, the timing of me and Tyreek with, you know, learning, continuing to learn what he likes, what he doesn't like. And it's a continuation still with Jalen and with all the other guys within our receiving core.
Your first drive, you have 31, you throw a deep pass, and then you're suggesting you're going to go for it on fourth and run. The play didn't get run, obviously, because they jumped off. Is this a changed mindset from, say, your first couple years of aggressiveness going forward on fourth down, short?
Well, I never thought that we'd go for it, but that's, you know, Mike. Mike told me, like, stay in there. You know, we're going to go for it. And, you know, we had calls that we wanted to call, and I wasn't sure when we were going to call them. So with it being, you know, on the first drive, that was a little surprise. But, I mean, really nothing should surprise me with Mike's.
You were going to run a play, right?
Yeah, we were going to run a play. Yep.
Walk us through the touchdown pass to Waddle, and did you have any flashes back to your days with him at the University of Alabama?
Yeah. Well, they were playing a one high coverage. You know, Waddle ran his route, got open, just gave him the ball, and he did the rest. I would say it was hard in the moment to have any sort of flashbacks of our time at Alabama. You know, it was just awesome to see what he did, you know, with the ball after he caught it.
What did it feel like having Tyreek Hill
for
a whole game and just being able to consistently go
ahead? Oh, it feels awesome having someone like Tyreek. You know, I'll keep saying this. Dude's a cheat code. You know, it's not easy covering this guy. You know, when he's motioning, when he's running routes off of motions and doing his thing. So, you know, I love it.
Would you like to be able to get some running game? Set up play action. Was that more of a plan today than you ended up getting?
Well, I mean, our game plan was to score points and as much points as we could. For us offensively, you know, Mike says that our offense is not aggressive. That's just the style that we play, whereas other people think it's aggressive. You know, for us, whatever call Mike, you know, decides to choose for us to run, that's what we're going to run, whether it's trying to set up a play action pass or not. You know, we'd like to do a little better in the run game, but you know, I think that's what the first week is for. We got all the jitters out. Everyone got their first real live action of a game, you know, and had all four quarters. So, like I always say, we'll go back into the film room. We'll talk about it. We'll go through it, get everything corrected, and you know, we'll come back Wednesday.
So, is your 4-0 against the Patriots? Not a lot of quarterbacks can say that in the past 2 decades. What does it take against New England? And is there a heightened awareness that you have to go into the game without facing quarterback?
Yeah, that's not an individual accolade, or I don't even look at it close to being that. It's a team sport, and this team has won 4 games straight against New England. So, you know, however way you see it, however way you put it, that's what it is. All right, thanks, guys.
So there's Tua after the victory. He is now 14-8 as a starter here with the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins fans, you
want to know
here,
this year.
Want to know this year. It's all that matters. You can be here for the live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Mazda. Final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Guys, we heard from head coach Mike
Real
McDaniel.
Quick, no disrespect, but I like Juice's version of that commercial.
Yeah, Fissel.
I'm just saying.
You know, I do too.
He did a great job, but
really knocked out that read.
Fissel sponsor the Miami Dolphins. Let's go.
Official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. And this is now your official place you can hear Tua Tagovailoa at the podium postgame.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of confidence in us. Yeah, I think you look at the way the game went. You know, we got started a little slow. And then there were peaks where we were driving the ball down the field. We just couldn't finish. You know, there were also times where, you know, we had communication errors within our headset, and we couldn't fully get the play communicated to the guys as well. And so it was kind of on the fly things like, hey, we don't have a play. Let's go to this play, or let's just go to this play. You know, and there, all those things are things that we can clean up. But, you know, I think Mike has the utmost confidence in us from things that we've shown in practice, from things that we've done throughout training camp, and also, you know, when we've had joint practices.
So you embrace when it's fourth down and you guys go for it, you embrace something like that?
I love it, yeah. He has the utmost confidence in the entire offense, that's why. Sorry, three guys just asked the question, like right here.
Play before half. Just take us through the logistics of going for on fourth down and then play. So.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the logistics are going for it on fourth down where we were on the field, but you know what I do know is Mike had, you know, confidence in us that when we did call that play, we were going to make it work. And so we did make it work, you know, and Jalen ended up scoring for us. So that was nice.
Mike said he didn't want to make it about himself, but, you know, getting his first game as head coach out the way, getting the victory, the Gatorade bath celebration, just what was that like as a team and, you know, your thoughts on that?
I thought that was awesome. It was awesome to see the team come together under Mike McDaniel. You know, that's his first win as a head coach for the Miami Dolphins. So it's something special. And he's always said that he wanted to come here and create something special. And it's just the beginning.
You guys did a lot of great things. There were some breakdowns. There were sacks. You had sacked a few times. You were throwing the ball away a few times. Just how do you come up? What do you take coming out of this?
I mean, what I take coming out of this is, you know, what can we learn from this? We'll go back, watch the film, and then we'll – you know, reassess, and get back to work on Wednesday.
To the team is team, and the quarterbacks was the group that was honored today. I want to know, have you had any chance to speak with Bob Greasy, and what has your conversations with him been like?
I've never had the opportunity to speak with Bob Greasy. The only person I've really been around has been Dan. So you know, I have many conversations with Dan.
To him, Mike McDaniel said,
this
is still the defense's team until proven otherwise. What do you think
we
can do about them?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen what the defense was able to do for us. I would say they were the momentum changers for us. You know, with the interceptions, with the turnovers that they had. Offensively, we just didn't capitalize. But, you know, I think the overall picture with as much as we wanted to do offensively and as much as we didn't get to do successfully offensively, you know, we still came out with a win. So I think that's a big positive for us.
There's so much talk about Tyreek and what do you mean to this offense. What was it like there in game one, having that option and obviously the connection you have with him?
Yeah, I would say it's a continuation of growing for, you know, the timing of me and Tyreek with, you know, continuing to learn what he likes, what he doesn't like. And it's a continuation still with Jalen and with all the other guys within our receiving core.
Your first drive, you have 3rd and 1, you throw a deep pass, and then you're suggesting you're going to go for it on 4th and run. The play didn't get run, obviously, because they jumped off. Is this a changed mindset from, say, your first couple years of aggressiveness going for it on 4th down, short?
Well, I never thought that we'd go for it, but that's, you know, Mike. Mike told me, like, stay in there. You know, we're going to go for it. And, you know, we had calls that we wanted to call, and I wasn't sure when we were going to call them. So with it being, you know, on the first drive, that was a little surprise. But, I mean, really nothing should surprise me with Mike's.
You were going to run a play, right?
Yeah, we were going to run a play. Yep.
Touchdown pass to Waddle, and did you have any flashes back to your days with him at the University of Alabama?
Yeah, well, they were playing a one high coverage. You know, Waddle ran his route, got open, just gave him the ball, and he did the rest. I would say it was hard in the moment to have any sort of flashbacks of our time at Alabama. You know, it was just awesome to see what he did. You know, with the ball after he caught it.
What did it feel like having Tyreek Hill for a whole game and just being able to consistently go
ahead? Oh, it feels awesome. It feels awesome having someone like Tyreek. You know, I'll keep saying this. Dude's a cheat code. You know, it's not easy covering this guy. You know, when he's motioning, when he's running routes off of motions and doing his thing. So, you know, I love it.
Would you like to be able to get some running game a little bit earlier in the game? Set up play action. Was that more of a plan today than you ended up getting?
Well, I mean, our game plan was to score points and as much points as we could. For us offensively, you know, Mike says that our offense is not aggressive. That's just the style that we play, whereas other people think it's aggressive. You know, for us, whatever call Mike, you know, decides to choose for us to run, that's what we're going to run, whether it's trying to set up a play action pass or not. You know, we'd like to do a little better in the run game, but you know, I think that's what the first week is for. We got all the jitters out. Everyone got their first real live action of a game, you know, and had all 4 quarters. So like I always say, we'll go back into the film room. We'll talk about it. We'll go through it, get everything corrected, and you know, we'll come back Wednesday. Yeah, that's not an individual accolade, or I don't even look at it close to being that. It's a team sport, and this team has won 4 games straight against New England. So, you know, however way you see it, however way you put it, that's what it is.
Thank you guys.
All right, thanks guys.
So there's Tua after the victory. He is now 14-8 as a starter here with the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins fans, you
want to know
here,
this year.
Want to know this year. It's all that matters. You can be here for the live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Mazda. Final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network brought to you by the Palm Beaches.